This is The Heat Source, the podcast where we learn everything we can about hot sauce, one bottle at a time. We are your hosts, Mike and Matt, and today we're trying Music City Heat from Two Heads Hot Sauce. Let's heat up. Welcome back to The Heat Source, where we learn about new sauces weekly, one bottle at a time. We are back for a sauce maker that I just learned about recently after that was part of the raffle that we won with a bunch of sauce being sent to us. But I already feel closer to this sauce brand than most.
Yeah, I know. I thought you started one without me with some other dude, or you just had like multiple personality.
Yep. It's or with my dad. Yeah. My dad would qualify. It's Two Heads Hot Sauce, which the logo is just that, two heads, two beautiful bald heads, couple beards. This is a Tennessee brand hot sauce. So this is our second Tennessee hot sauce that we've had. We've had literally Tennessee hot sauce brand and two heads.
Yeah.
So we are going to be trying their Music City Heat hot sauce. This is one that they said is their most popular. It's also one of their award-winning sauces, which we'll get into. It looks really good. It's got a combination of like four different peppers combined into it.
I'm a Serrano fan, so I'm excited. I like Serranos.
Yeah. We've had a few Serrano sauces. I've enjoyed all of them. I don't think there's any one of them that I've had that I haven't enjoyed. There's a few others that we haven't done on the pod that I've liked. But just before I forget, because I always seem to forget at the end, Two Heads Hot Sauce is their Instagram. TwoHeadsHeat.com is their website, and Two Heads Hot Sauce is their Facebook page. Their website is really nice. It's got a lot of recipes on it, so definitely something worth checking out. They've got, it's one of the more developed websites that I've seen where they've got links to stories, they've got their recipes, they've got online stores, they have something for events or promotions. Like, it's really well done. And again, bald heads are beautiful. So...
So our, on a really early episode, we had talked about kind of doing like maybe a cartoon of ourselves. Mm-hmm. And I talked about kind of doing like the outline of our face and then just the hair. So any, exactly what they did.
Any signature features. Yeah. Yeah. Which here's the thing. Yes, there's two bald heads, but they both have beards. So there is a little bit of a different feature to it. The problem is I don't have any other feature unless I start wearing
two caterpillars.
Yeah.
Next unless to something that would probably look like mine.
So I switch back and forth between contacts and glasses. So like if I consistently wore glasses, there we go. Like Scott Van Pelt for ESPN, he wears glasses. So his brand is that bald head with the glasses.
Right.
But I don't have that. You, but on the other hand, beard, glasses, hair. I've described too much. Everyone already knows what you look like now just from that very vivid description.
Right. Yeah, there's less skin showing.
You're hogging all the facial accessories is what's happening. I got to get like my nose pierced or get a gauges or something.
Just two eyebrows and a bowl ring.
Yeah, I'm going to get one through my nose with a chain that goes to my ears and then it goes over my head. So then there's a little spinning
like,
top on
it's
the
like Xerxes.
I also made the mistake. We posted a couple things before we started recording. And so now I have to close Instagram because it keeps beeping in my ear that we are getting notifications. So that's my bad.
I feel like, and maybe this is just me, because I'm not very techie at all.
Yeah.
I feel like you're one of like nine people that use Instagram on a web page.
I use both. That was the app. That was the program on the computer.
Okay. Gotcha.
Because that's what professionals do.
Right.
But I also am the old person that does Instagram.com.
Do you really?
Yeah.
Is there an Instagram.com? I've literally...
Websites exist, Mike.
I know, but...
They're a real thing.
Like, when you think of Instagram, you think of scrolling through your phone. You don't think of
I check my email. So much on your... I check my email more going to Gmail or yahoo.mail.com than I do on the app on my phone. Because typically I'm at my, like, a desktop, and I'm going, I really should filter out these emails.
Yeah.
That's what's
happening. If I had to log into Facebook on a computer, I couldn't do it because I don't know the password. I just keep rolling over.
Well, you don't need it anymore because now they just say, hey, this phone number is linked. We're going to text that a code, put that in, and then you're good.
Is that what they do?
Yeah.
Technology. That's crazy.
There is another feature where they're like, just click this button and like the app on your phone with the email will like say, hey, are you logging in? You go, yes. Mine's not linked.
Interesting.
I'm both getting into the tech world and falling behind. It's funny that I was talking to someone about the podcast and the different things that we do. And I'm like, yeah, we do. Mike's peeing in the corner now.
Your daily ASMR.
Yeah.
I don't know why I didn't do this before. I'm sorry. I don't know.
Got fresh bottled water in you. It's just, and it's always, now it makes me nervous because I don't know if I fill it up that high typically. And so it's perfectly to the top of the cup. Anyway, I was talking about how like, oh yeah, we do Instagram. We have Facebook. We have a Twitter. We do a TikTok, which is weird, and all this stuff. And it's like, oh yeah, like who does that? I'm like, oh, I do most of it. And like
all of it.
Yeah. And then I was like, I'm really not the person that should be doing this. Cause he's like, oh, you'll eventually need like a social media manager. Like they probably would be doing what I'm doing in like a third of the time.
Yeah.
I like doing it. It's fun. Right. It's kind of what Sam from SamSauce says, where he's like, yeah, people are like, oh, that's really cool. The thing you did here, the content you created here. And he's like, I'm just winging it.
Yeah.
That's what we're doing. I have a little bit of like a format where in my head, I'm like, if I know each day what thing I want to do.
Yeah.
That's a little easier.
Yeah. But I can paint like, I'm not very artistic. I can paint a great picture in my head. Mm-hmm. I don't know how to translate that to my hands.
Have you tried numbers? Paint by numbers.
I have. Yes. Took me a very long time because I focused in on it. Courtney blew through hers. We got just little paint by numbers for like Halloween. We saw them at the store for like 50 cents. So we bought those. She was done with hers in like 10 minutes and it looked fine.
Yeah.
I'm damn near have a microscope or a magnifying glass like to stay within the lines. I got like 25% of the way done with mine and I was like, I got to do something
else. I haven't done those really, but my son has a sticker book that's sticker by numbers and it's all dinosaurs.
Yeah.
So that one you would.
I saw it at the store the other day. Do you remember? They were big in the 90s. The felt, sorry, that just blew your ears out. The felt photos where it's like, it's a photo of a dinosaur and it's all white and the scene's white, but then there's like the black felt.
That sounds familiar.
Oh, those are so cool. Yeah. Those are very nostalgic for me.
Mason's got a nice dino rug in his room. It's a pretty good setup, but yeah, I don't really have a whole lot. We just recorded 2 days ago, the Grand Traverse episode. This one is coming out. Actually, this sauce is coming out the week before the Super Bowl. So we're recording this the weekend before we find out who's in the Super Bowl. So I'm really excited. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I remember those.
Sorry. I had to show
Mike you. Just showed me what he was talking about with the felt with the dinosaurs.
Anyway, Super Bowl soccer. Yeah. No, okay. I'm a football fan.
Sure.
American football.
I always like sometimes when like there are people that are like into sports, but like not like heavy in. And I'm like, oh, they're going to be breaking down all. It's just like, oh yeah, they heard they're good. It's like, well, they're in the Super Bowl. they're probably okay.
At least once a week, you introduce me to a new basketball player. I'm like, had no idea that was a thing. You're like, oh yeah, he's what'd you name like the dream team of all time? And I'm like, never heard of him.
I would be interested if I went through the dream team, the actual like original dream team. I think you would get, I think three, you would be like, yes. Yeah, I got those.
Heard of them or would be able to name them?
I don't know, but naming them is hard because like, I don't know.
I would lead it with Michael Jordan.
You're off to a great start. Okay. Yeah, let's do it real quick here. just list three basketball players you think
like would be of all time
that would be on the 90s dream team.
The 90s dream team?
This is the dream team, the first professional NBA team that played in the Olympics.
Okay. I'm going to go Michael Jordan.
Yep.
Charles Barkley.
Yes. There's so many options that
I'm trying to go through the Toon Squad here.
I'm trying to think if that would help.
Scottie Pippen.
Yeah. Scottie was on there too. Nice. So there you go. You got three. Nice. And you didn't even go with what I thought you might. I thought you might try Magic Johnson or Larry Bird.
I thought Larry Bird was before that. I was surprised.
It was the end of his career. Okay. So it was late. Same with Magic Johnson. Like it was not prime Magic. So anyway, the shaved bald heads just made us think of Michael Jordan, you know, classic shaved head. People keep saying LeBron should just shave his head, but then everyone's like, well, then I'll just try to be like Mike anything he does, he's going to be trying to be like Mike, because that's the way things work. I'm still mad at LeBron for the 27 straight points against the Pistons. Anyway, that was 2006. So let's get back
27 unanswered points.
27 straight by him, not without the Pistons scoring, but like his team, it was just him.
Gotcha.
It's like, hey, just stop him. And they didn't do that. We're not going to get into it. We're not going to open up that wound.
Anyway, Super Bowl.
Yeah. So this is a Music City Heat. The bottle here, the labeling says Music City Heat will make you sing, blending heat with smoke and a hint of sweet. It'll be your new favorite. Two head sauces are crafted by two good looking bald dudes in Tennessee. And real ingredients separate. Shake well to enjoy. Refrigerate after opening. The ingredients we got is water, vinegar, smoked serrano pepper, habanero peppers, agave syrup, Anaheim pepper, garlic and water, citric acid, coarse sea salt, and xanthan gum. Now, that is one of their signatures that I realized that they use, I think, exclusively. Not exclusively where they don't use any other types, but they have smoked peppers in every one of their sauce in some degree.
Nice.
And it's not the smoke, liquid smoke or whatever that might be, which sometimes does work, but it is all natural.
I felt bad. I had my dog sniff liquid smoke one time.
Mm-hmm.
He just like rubbed his face in the carpet for the longest time. I was like, oh man, I just blew out his olfactory.
All right, let's check this out. Here's the...
Would have been the best one ever had you not slipped.
My fingers are cold. Worked out this morning. My fingers are weak.
Amazing.
It's got...
Didn't you do like that?
It's... Yeah. But I had to hold the weights in my hands while I was doing the squats. Yeah, it was leg day. Hey, leg day affects everything. Like, leg day affects your balance,
your muscles in the body.
I know. That's what they tell you in the Army. Never miss leg day. And I've missed... How many years have I been out of the Army? Like 5 years. I've missed like all but 20 days of leg day. All right. So this is it's got a nice dark, like a dark reddish brown color to it. It's pretty liquidy. It's not like some of them that we have like an applesauce consistency. This is much more watery, not in a bad way. It looks like it's got some good speckled seasoning in there. Whether it be logo or catchphrases that they do, they like to say heat you can taste, which I think is their motto. But I think that's a strong feeling that a lot of sauce makers have is like,
yeah, this isn't just, here's a bottle of hot, you know, here's a bottle of flavor that just happens to be hot.
I will say, did you watch the most recent episode of season 20 of Hot Ones with Anna Kendrick?
Not yet. I saw some screenshots and she had some pretty funny faces.
Couple things. Okay. This won't ruin anything. First of all, she eats them like a champ, extra bites. So
nice.
Props to her. I always liked Anna Kendrick and whatever she did. And I don't watch a whole lot of other rom-com-y stuff, but it's like, oh, Anna Kendrick's in it. All right. I'm listening.
Probably pretty good. Yeah.
Yeah. Or they're going to sing and she'll be good in that. But extra bites, there was one part which I need to like isolate during the third or fourth sauce where she was just like, you know, these are still like really good flavor. Like there's heat, but it's letting me enjoy the flavor of everything first. And I'm just like, she's literally talking about like the thesis statement of most sauce makers.
Yeah.
Like all the sauce makers are just, you know, the TikTok or the reel where like it cuts to like people just like cheering, either like looking at a camera or like,
yeah.
Or like a big bar just going crazy. That's literally the hot sauce community. When she's just like, yeah, it's really nice how like, there's flavor and there's heat. And they're just like, she gets it.
Yeah, right.
She's one of us now. She also, she got the Bert Kreischer. Bert Kreischer talked about how you almost have like this euphoric, almost high from the extremely hot sauce.
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, I feel it. Like this is.
Oh, really?
She's like, I don't like the pain, but she's like, this is really cool. So, because I think even Bert Kreischer even mentioned, like, he'll just do a spoonful of, like, an extremely hot sauce and just, like, sit on the couch and, like, let it happen.
That's funny.
This has some good, like, speckled seasoning to it. A lot
of seasonings in there.
Smells delicious.
It does smell really good.
All right, let's give it a try. So, they have this as a medium heat. It doesn't, like, kick you really hard, but it is very present heat.
Definitely smoky.
Yeah, it's got that smoky, but it... We've had a few smoky sauces, and some of them I enjoy more than others. The Smoky J has very natural smoke. I'm a little bit tougher on liquid smoke ones, but this one is, yeah, this one is really nice, smoky. You get the garlic.
Barbecue.
It does have a barbecue. It has a,
I mean, that's what
it's I'm not on. Exactly the similar flavor to it, but it does have a, hey, you don't want to use steak sauce, put this with your steak instead.
Yeah.
Get that smokiness, get that little bit barbecue-ish. I said barbecue-ish. Anyway, I just did like a pork carnitas tacos.
Oh, that'd go really good.
Yeah.
Anything with pork, that'd go good.
I'd throw that on there. They had a recipe on their website for this sauce, which was a Music City casserole. I'm going to quick run through it. It's just boneless chicken, sweet potatoes, throw in some paprika, some garlic powder, this sauce. You toss that all up, and then you cook that in a casserole dish, and then you add, after the fact, cooked bacon and green onions with it. Real simple, but that would be really good because I do like a smokiness with my sweet potatoes.
Yeah.
I like to dice them, roast them, and then like toss them in. Usually I do like smoked paprika and a couple other more like smoky, like cumin, smoked paprika, things like that.
Okay.
That gives it a barbecue feel. So this would be right up my alley. Although I would grill the chicken, but also then you're not doing a casserole. Anyway.
Courtney and I have been doing loaded potato skins lately. Don't know why.
How loaded?
Just cheese, bacon, scallions.
Okay.
Like, but, you know, well, potato skins, so.
Because I was like, that's what I was thinking when I think of loaded potato skins, but sometimes when someone says loaded, it's like, it's above and beyond. Like, I did the loaded mac and cheese that became jalapeno popper mac and cheese.
Yeah.
It's okay, like.
Sorry. We've just been doing potato skins.
Okay.
So.
Well, no, that's fine. I want to make sure I wasn't missing out on something.
Yeah, no.
A real loaded potato skin is not even like the skin, just a small piece. It's like a halved or the whole potato carved out where it's like, that's just filled
right.
with like.
Yeah, it's a potato boat, just, not a skin.
It's just filled with, you know, spinach artichoke dip.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah.
But that'd go really good on there. This morning she woke up and her dreams are evolving into just food dreams. She woke up and the first thing she said was, that lemonade was so good. I was like, what lemonade? She's like, in my dream, I could like vividly taste the lemonade and I had it with the best steak fries I'd ever had.
Was she listening to Beyonce's Lemonade album before?
I don't think so.
Okay. That was me trying to be current with the times. Lemonade.
Guess what's for dinner tonight? Lemonade and steak fries. So.
I don't care for lemonade.
Really?
It's too sweet.
Yeah. I could see that, but I also just,
I don't know what to tell you there.
I'm weird where it's like, I like savory things, traditionally savory things, savory, like sweet potato salad.
Mm-hmm.
Not sweet potato, but like potato salad that's sweet. I normally don't like. Totally forgot where I was going with that. But
cool.
I was watching you pour that out. I don't know.
Well, this has that stopper, which is good for this consistency of a sauce.
That helps me a whole bunch.
From over pouring, but it is a little frustrating where I'm like, I want more.
Yeah.
The thing is with lemonade, I don't like a whole lot. Like I go on cycles.
Lemonade, that's what we were talking
about. Yeah, I go on cycles of like super sweet where like I'll eat a bunch of like my kids' fruit snacks and then be like, oh, you guys ate them all. We got to go get more. Then I'm like, I don't really want anything sweet for like weeks.
Yeah.
But then it comes back again and then I'm eating like Twizzlers by the rope.
Yeah. But I either like a lot of it at once or I don't really care for it. I'm more falling on the savory side. But like if you give me a gallon of Minute Maid lemonade, I'll knock it out.
Okay.
Yeah. Like the craft, like if you go to like some sort of trade show, they always have the lemonade stand with a hand shook lemonade.
Mm-hmm. I've had those before at the sports show, which I will be running a booth this year. Not a hot sauce booth, unfortunately. But
I've probably interacted with you.
Probably. I've done it for 10 years.
Okay. I've probably interacted with you for 10 years and just didn't know who you were.
That's fine.
Can you imagine 10 years ago, just some random dude at a booth? And like your little guardian angel comes down. It's like, you're going to have a podcast with that guy someday.
I would have like, liked,
get out of here.
I would have liked
get
it if you,
it's not a real thing.
You go back in time and then you're like, well, man, I have to start this podcast. So you go back and you try to explain to me at a sports show that we should start a podcast without really knowing you, right. Which isn't like, it sounds crazy, but also we started the podcast after knowing each other for how long? Like,
Couple months.
So it's not the most bizarre.
I think I would consider us friends now.
Sure.
But when we first started, it was very much like, we're not friends, but we're like coworkers who are.
You know what it was? Lauren from Hot Graham shared something and says, hey, just two best friends, just do, you know, trying hot sauce and talking about this stuff. And I'm like, so first thing, are we friends? It's like, yeah.
Lauren, the matchmaker.
Yep. I just looked up when National Reuben Sandwich Day is, and I've got a Reuben sandwich with some of his sauces. I got to order more from him, so I got to message him this week. But yeah, all right, let's go into a little bit about this brand. So Two Heads Hot Sauce, it's two guys that founded this back in the fall of 2020. It's Jeremy Fikes and Casey Maples. The origin of their friendship and then business is actually pretty funny.
Okay.
So they're based out of White House, Tennessee, which is just north of Nashville. And so it's a Middle Tennessee brand company. They both, one of them originally lived in Texas, one Alabama, respectively. They moved to this town in Tennessee. They actually went to the same church.
Okay.
And because they both have, you know, beards, shaved heads, they don't look completely exact, but when you have those features that are similar,
bald people tend to gravitate towards other bald people.
Not gravitate, but like people were getting them confused at church where like one would be like telling their wife, like, hey, your husband's already in there. And she's like, he is. It's like, hey, I just saw your brother in
yeah,
there.
Yeah,
I saw
the back of his head.
Like, yeah. Oh, okay.
Hold on. Are they bald or shaven? Those are two different things.
That is two different things. My research failed me. I did not clarify.
Okay, sorry.
which one they are. So just as a disclosure, I am both bald, but I shave the part that tries. So my dad has the horseshoe.
Okay.
With very little on top. I would probably end up in the same boat. Right now I still have some on the top that tries.
Yeah.
But it's the front is, you know, Rob Corddry from Hot Tub Time Machine. He's the one that stayed behind. He was also on The Daily Show. He had the little tuft of hair here and then bald.
Okay.
He is what I think I would end up if I tried too hard to keep growing it.
Okay.
But I remembered Scott Van Pelt said, sponsor of the episode, I think it was high school or college coach, told him, fire it before it quits on you, because he knew that he was going to be bald.
Fire it before it quits.
And so that's what I did is I kept saying, like, I'm going to shave my head. I'm going to shave my head. Mostly my mom was like, no, don't do it. It's not going to be good. And I'm like, I buzz cutted my hair like when I was a kid every summer.
Yeah.
I'm like, what's the difference? And then I did military where I'm like, I had a bald head there. Yeah. So I finally did. And she's like, yeah, it looks really nice. I'm like, I could have done this 10 years ago.
That's so funny.
It's like a totally different. And
I saw.
How much do you think I spend at the barbershop now?
Not much.
Once every couple of years, maybe if I want to just get like the clean shaven and like the massage and all that. But
yeah. That's funny.
Yeah.
I saw a picture of you with hair one time, and it was like looking at, you know, when Michael Scott is shaking, is it Mr. Dunder or Mr. Mifflin?
Oh, is it Ed? No, it's Ed Truck.
Ed Truck. He's shaking Ed Truck's hand. He's got like the long hair mullet.
Mm-hmm.
The equivalent of seeing you now versus in that photo was like that caliber of like, oh, man.
And it's just like short of a, like a mop top, but like it wasn't a whole lot of hair. But it was way more than what I have now.
Yeah, it was enough.
Mm-hmm. But anyway, so they went to the same church. That confusion was kind of how it started, where then they knew each other through church. They became friends. They started to do making like craft beer as a hobby. Nothing.
Oh, they started in craft beer?
Well, just, being in Michigan where it's craft beer country, making craft beer isn't really a business decision. It's sometimes just a pastime, you know, hobby, whatever.
This is what we do here.
Yeah. So they were making craft beer, and one time one of them brought, this is kind of funny, where one of them brought a bottle of hot sauce, store-bought hot sauce. And Casey, who likes to cook and loves to tinker in the kitchen and stuff, he was, you know, they were having this hot sauce, and he was like, I bet I can do a better hot sauce than that. And that kind of started the, kind of like the ball rolling, kind of like we talked about a podcast and then I looked into it for a second and then suddenly I had a Google account and Instagram and all this and I'm like, we're doing this.
Mm-hmm.
This was that final push, the pebble moving so the boulder can roll downhill and snowball. So he started mid-September 2020. Casey brought over a hot sauce that they really, really liked. Here's the next stage, which I thought was really, really interesting when I read it. First batch of 10 bottles lasted a few days, giving it to people or selling it.
Mm-hmm.
Second batch, 50 bottles, 2 weeks.
Okay.
Third batch, 50 bottles, 4 days.
Really?
And then in the 8 weeks leading up to Christmas in 2020, 400 bottles.
So that, like, that's exponential.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, did you say what the first sauce was that they made?
I didn't see what it was. I did see they had a couple. They started with a few sauces to go, but I didn't see which one. I don't think it was this one, but maybe I would be wrong on that. But they did say that while COVID wasn't the reason for them doing this, it did kind of move some things along, or it did affect it in mm-hmm. some way, because otherwise in normal life, people get busy, you know, with, you know, vacations, all that. When you kind of are stuck with limited options, you focus on the hobbies that you can thoroughly enjoy still.
Right.
And again, their motto, heat you can taste, totally get that, because this heat is very tolerable. It's one that, unless someone's just completely afraid of heat, I would recommend this to most people.
Mm-hmm.
This to me is like a good two. It's like a well-behaved two.
Yeah.
Like a two out of five, where like one is like presence, two is a lingering heat, three is where you're reacting and you're snotting and all that stuff. Four, good pain, five, bad pain. This is right in the sweet spot of two, where it's like, if you want to push yourself in a little bit of heat and you're not comfortable with heat, this is a good one to do.
Yeah.
If you're just wanting something to add the flavor, you don't want to get like, I had some of the sauce I put on the tacos last night, I went a little heavy handed mm-hmm. and it wasn't that the sauce itself was very hot. It was just a lot of sauce.
Yeah.
I got a little coughing fit there.
I did that yesterday with grilled cheese. I accidentally did.
Yeah, you talked about
almost about
La Muerte 2.0.
Yeah. I did almost a half a bottle on one grilled cheese.
And 2.0, that's a...
It was good.
That's an intense one to heavy hand.
It was really good.
That's a thick pour that I would regret.
That was...
And I love La Muerte.
That was going shot for shot. That was every bite, just dump it straight on the grilled cheese.
I mean, at that point, just put it in a cup and sip it. Dip it in like tomato soup for a grilled cheese.
Pretty much.
The next thing after they started, they were building up these bottles. In 7 months, they were in 40 stores across Middle Tennessee and Kentucky.
In so, 7 months?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
I've noticed that more often than not, that as long as it's something where some of them, they build slower because that's their purpose. That's their kind of, that's their vision board. I use vision board now. It's a fun, I don't have one.
Do you have one?
Canva.com keeps saying like, do you want to build a vision board? I'm like, no. I probably should.
It's going to get you one day.
Yeah. One of these days you're going to come in and be like, what's that canvas thing up there? I'm like, nothing. It's my vision board. But I've noticed that some of them, they just hit fast. Like Sauce Leopard, hot ones in less than 2 years. This, 40 stores, 7 months. And I mean, we've talked about it where like West Michigan or Michigan in general, there's not a lot of local hot sauces where like I could see a lot of stores being excited about a local product. So yeah. Same thing with Tennessee. We know Tennessee hot sauce brand, but they started around the same time. I don't know a lot of, and I haven't researched it, but I don't know a lot of like super well-established Tennessee-based sauces. So that's really great that they took advantage of the need mm-hmm. for that in the area. But again, one of their signatures, using smoked peppers in all of their sauces. They did tell me, because I talked to them a little bit on Instagram, they said in 2022, they released 8 private label products for universities and restaurants. That's pretty cool too. Giving them different sponsored or unique labeled sauces.
Yeah. Nice.
And that's a way to give back to the community too. 8. Yeah. Nice. Between universities and restaurants. There's one article about one of them, but they must have redirected it because it didn't go through. But Music City is the one that has the most pepper blends out of all of them. This one also was one of two of their items that won the International Flavor Awards, or won an award. This was second place in medium sauce category.
Okay.
Which I could totally get. Their other one was first place in hot honey categories with their hot honey, which they also sent to us. We'll have to do that one at some point here. But yeah, the International Flavor Awards. I've heard about them. I haven't looked into them as much, but I know that behind SCOVY, I don't know if there's any other award that I really know as well. Maybe there's one that I'm missing, but I'd say it's like a top three in the hot sauce world as far as like awards go.
Right.
They also on their site, which this I'm very interested in, when we eventually want to try more of their sauces after the ones they sent us, they have a called a Nash Dust, which is sweet smoked paprika, smoked red serrano, green serrano, sea salt, and garlic powder. It's a seasoning.
Nice. That sounds good.
We have some seasonings that I would, that I'm excited to try.
We'll have to do a seasoning special.
Yeah. We have a lot of, there's a lot of ancillary, like within the hot sauce world. So using stuff like that would be, it's also a different way to diversify where it's like, hey, we sell hot sauce. Okay. You don't want to try it. Like you're adamant against it. Here's some other things. Or, mm-hmm. or if it's someone that's like, yeah, my family doesn't do hot sauce, but like use this seasoning. They won't even know.
Yeah.
They'll be like, oh, it's still warm from the oven. My mouth is burning. But like, nope. But yeah. So no, this is a really good sauce.
I wish I had a bigger spoon.
I know. Yeah, I would put, with that smokiness, and yeah, it kind of has that barbecue feel to it. I liked their idea with chicken and sweet potatoes. I would almost throw that on, like, if you, like, grilled, like, a roast and did, like, potatoes and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I could see that. Like I said, I would.
Goes on anything meaty, real meaty.
Yeah, this is definitely a red meat. This is definitely a carnivore diet companion. Although I don't think carnivore diet even allows you to do hot sauce, do they?
Does it not?
I don't know. I haven't done it.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, now that you mention it, because
they have the coffee
and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. Something to look into.
It does have, so I don't know what the.
Isn't it World Carnivore Month this month?
Maybe.
I think January's World Carnivore Month.
There is that agave syrup, that sweetness, it doesn't hit you or anything, but there is enough of it.
Where I definitely get a little bit of sweetness out of
which
it.
Which is nice. Because initially I'm like, oh, well, like what fruit did they put in there? Because that's always my thought. But the agave does help it just right. Yeah. Where then it almost, not as sweet as like a honey barbecue, but then you get that. That's mm-hmm. where we get into the meat discussion again. One thing I skipped over that I wanted to mention. So there was a podcast interview they had like 10 months ago. As of that time, they were both still working full time and doing this sauce brand. And the interesting thing was their careers, like they have very well-established careers. So Casey is in healthcare as a surgical PA, and he's a beekeeper. So that's I don't know awesome. If that's a hobby or a profession on the beekeeper side. And Jeremy is a professor at Belmont. He teaches corporate communication and owns a leadership development consulting firm.
That's awesome.
So it's like they're doing a good job. I mean, I don't know how they have any free time. Like,
They're still doing that right now? And the sauce?
As of 10 months ago,
okay. That
was what the interview said. I don't know if there was ever that transition, but I don't know. Those are a couple harder professions to kind of be like, yeah, I'm just going to step away or I'm out.
Right.
Probably, I don't know. I don't do either of those. So.
I'm guessing.
Yeah, probably. But, all right, we're going to get into, I have some ancillary fun facts. I'm curious what direction you went with this.
I went with the state of Tennessee.
Great.
And geology.
All right. I'm going to let you go first.
Okay.
Because as the bold person on the episode, I get to close us out. And I got some fun stuff.
I was going to go like the bald route.
Yeah.
But I figured you might call me out on some BS.
The glare from my head called dibs.
Yeah.
So it's why we don't do a video podcast because it would just be a white light, like a lighthouse on the top of my head.
Yeah. I had a couple things. I'm going to hit you with both.
Okay.
Tennessee is home to the world's oldest and longest running radio program.
I saw that.
That's pretty neat.
Yeah. From like 1920.
I don't remember the exact date.
It was pre-World War II. Yeah. I remember that.
Right. I thought this was pretty neat, but my actual fact. So I love geology. One of, like in college, Courtney and I would always go to like Tennessee and Kentucky, hang out at Mammoth Caves, go see all the fun geology stuff down there. Have you heard of Ruby Falls before?
No.
R-U-B-Y. I think it's in Chattanooga, but it is a 145 foot underground waterfall.
Okay.
In the stream that's 1,100 feet underground. It's a river 1,100 feet underground. You take an elevator down.
Wow.
They take you through, I think it's like a mile of caves, and you get to this waterfall in this giant cave chamber.
That's cool.
And they have it. It's really neat. They have it lit up, and they play like different light shows on it. But it's literally this massive waterfall, and you're, 1,000 feet underground.
That reminds me of...
It's nuts.
We went to Mexico and we went to the cenotes, so like the underwater or the under... Not the underground, but like you're basically going to a cave, swim under, and then you're in different areas. There. It's that sounds awesome. And I like that they added a little rave element to it.
Yeah.
But that was what it reminded me of. But I've been to Tennessee, Smoky Mountains when I was a kid, Gatlinburg, but it was all whatever the family felt was good for, like, I think I was maybe a teenager.
Yeah.
So it's like, oh, my dad, I loved to climb. When I was a kid, I would climb any tree, climb any rock surface, whatever I could do. Mm-hmm. My dad's terrified of heights, so much so that I was not allowed to do that. There's a video recording of him, I think it might have been in Tennessee, where I wanted to climb down this one rock face, get this one thing that I saw, and then climb back up.
Yeah.
And he had a VCR camcorder, and he's recording. He's like, yeah, Matt's sitting there because I told him he can't do it. Will he listen to me? Will he disobey? We'll see. I didn't do it. But I'm like, you're recording that? It would have been so much more entertaining if I did it.
Yeah.
Because it'd be like, oh, he didn't listen.
That's funny. I love heights. I love climbing.
Yeah.
Down climbing makes me uncomfortable. Down climbing's hard.
I like climbing. I'm pretty claustrophobic. Like, not...
I'm the opposite of claustrophobic. Like, if I'm in a wet t-shirt, that's uncomfortable. I'm super claustrophobic.
Yeah.
When I was... Courtney and I did the Extreme Cave Tour at Mammoth Caves. And they literally tell you, like, hey, you're not going to fit.
Yeah.
You know, that, and because you're going through holes that you're like, my head wouldn't fit through there. And they're like, if you contort your arm this way, you know, and one guy on the tour thinks he broke a rib because you're squeezing through such tight spaces.
Nope, I loved it.
That was awesome. But yeah, if you get a chance, check out Ruby Falls. That's pretty amazing. It's the largest underground waterfall in the country.
I felt uncomfortable with you talking about how the tight squeeze up there, because there's a Dirty Jobs episode with Mike Rowe where they go to Mackinac Bridge, and the main, I could say towers, but the main
pillars,
support columns, the main support columns, there is a way, there's ladders inside that you go down.
Yeah.
You can go down. But when you go down and someone else is going down, there is no room to get around. So if, this is where it terrifies me. If you're going down and there's someone above you, and let's say they have a heart attack, you now have to push that body back up. You're not going to get out.
That's what freaks you out, just in case someone has a heart attack. But
it could be anything. Yeah. But I'm just saying, like,
no, I get what you're saying.
And just, or they get stuck or whatever.
So, I guess I like tight spaces when I'm the only one in there. You start to throw another body in there.
It'd be tough, but it would be better for me if it's just like, it's just me, it's my control, whatever. But yeah, like when it becomes the second person involved, like we did a different training for military where we would just put on like the gas, the hazmat suit and all that. Then we had to run in it, and I was fine wearing it, but then running in it, you're, you know, kind of breathing heavy, you're fogging up, you know.
Right.
I was getting a little claustrophobic. I'm not superstitious, I'm just a little seditious.
And then last thing, you had mentioned the Great Smoky Mountains.
Mm-hmm.
Did you know that Great Smoky Mountains National Park is the most visited national park in the country?
I would believe it.
That was surprising.
It's very centralized.
It is, and that was why it was such a big hit. It's very centralized. Mm-hmm. I would have thought Yellowstone, though. I know it's out there, but if you were to say name a national park, you'd say Yellowstone.
Also, road tripping to Smoky Mountains, from any direction, you typically would have more stops that you could do. So you can make it a, you know, multi-city tour.
Right. Yeah.
While driving out there, it's like,
what's the,
well, we're past Iowa. We'll see you in Yellowstone.
Yeah. We get to stop at Waldrug. Is that what it is? Do you know what that is?
Mm-mm.
I've
never been to Yellowstone, so I don't know anything out there.
I went out to Wyoming a couple of years ago, and I'm pretty sure like Waldrug, South Dakota. It's literally just like that. And you see bumper stickers that say Waldrug on them, but it's like you're out in the prairie and there's all these signs that just say, come check this out, Waldrug. And you're just like, that's what you have to offer.
What else am I going to do?
Yeah. You have non-native pheasants and you have Waldrug, but home to the world's largest T-Rex. So
cool. Also, Iowa, second or world's largest truck stop is in Iowa.
Courtney and I stopped there probably a month ago.
Yeah, it's cool.
Yeah.
A lot of stuff there.
Got lost in the parking lot. We needed the GPS to get out of the parking lot.
I believe it. All right. So those are your facts?
Yeah, that's all I got for you.
All right. So I'm going to start from the least fun to the most fun, in my opinion. So my first one is non-bald related. Music City, Nashville, from Music City. Do you know how it got its name or the theory of how it got its name?
probably home to some famous artists.
That's part of it.
Okay.
So Nashville became a recognized center for music publishing beginning in the beginnings of the 1800s.
Beginnings of the 1800s? Mm-hmm. Really?
The Fisk Jubilee Singers from the Nashville's Fisk University did the first world tour by a musical act in the city. All their efforts were rewarded when Nashville became a global music center. It was the Queen of England that stated the Fisk Jubilee Singers must have come from the music city, and thus the name came to be.
Interesting. So the Queen, I would have never guessed it was that long ago.
So it's like, you know why they call Nashville, Tennessee, music city? Because of the Queen.
That's weird.
Look at the Queen still, you know, England's still pulling the strings. Still pulling the strings in the U.S. There's some other discussion where it's like, that's the most kind of like fantastical one. That's the one I like.
Yeah.
So the other ones aren't as interesting. I was trying to find, I thought there was a recording studio in Nashville, Tennessee that had like, there was something that some famous musician, I think it was either Elvis or someone, that they either wrote something or did something that they have left preserved in the recording studio for decades. Mm-hmm. But I couldn't find that part. But we're going to do two things. Do you want a fact or a game first?
Let's go game first.
Game first. All right. There's many famous bald people, as I'm sure you know.
Yeah.
Oh. I'm going to list off four bald people, and I'm just listing them in alphabetical order. There's no strategy behind that.
Okay.
And you are going to tell me, and some are genetically bald, some have chosen to shave their head. You're going to tell me who was bald from earliest to latest, so youngest to oldest.
Okay.
How early did they okay. bald? You don't have to tell me how many years old they were. Just put them in order.
Okay.
So we have Howie Mandel from Deal or No Deal and America's Got Talent.
Okay.
We have Jason Alexander, George Costanza from Seinfeld.
Okay.
You know him?
He's the plump guy, right?
He's the bald one. Yeah, he's the tiny, tiny plump one.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He's in Shallow Hell. He's got the tail.
He's shallow. Yeah.
Okay.
He's
in yeah.
You don't.
That's how I know him. I know George Costanza from Shallow Hell.
So the weird thing is I didn't go that
tall, curly.
That's
guy?
A really good. That's a really good pull. If you were like, I need something else, I was gonna say he was the slimy coworker of Richard Gere in Pretty Woman, but he had hair back then.
Oh yeah.
Clue. He had hair back then. Your favorite and mine, Mahatma Gandhi.
Okay.
And Sir Patrick Stewart. The most, in my opinion, the most famous bald celebrity.
You're going to have to edit this out.
What?
I don't know what a Patrick Stewart is.
You don't know who Sir Patrick Stewart is? Do you know who? I know it you probably
sounds,
haven't watched
sounds them. Sounds really familiar.
I know you probably haven't watched them.
I'm a face guy.
You've never seen X-Men with Professor Xavier, the bald one?
Oh, yeah. I know who that is.
Yeah. He was also in Star Trek.
Yeah, yeah.
Jean-Luc Picard in Star Trek?
Yeah, just say that.
Okay.
Yeah.
That guy.
Okay. Yeah, no, I know who that is for sure. I told you, okay. I'm a face guy.
I'm a face guy. That's the quote of the week. So in order from youngest to oldest, when they either went bald or just committed to
being bald. Hold on. Let me write this down. So we have Gandhi, Professor Xavier.
Yeah.
Shallow Hell. I feel like Michael Scott when he goes to list something off, and it's like, he lists off the things.
It's his, yes. What was it? It's a mnemonic device.
Yes.
That's like Patrick Stewart.
Xavier.
Like Xavier, bald.
Or like he writes on the cards what not to say.
Yeah.
All right. And then Howie Mandel. I like Howie. Germaphobe.
He is a germaphobe, which is always, my mom always cries on America's Got Talent when she's like, he hugged, like someone wins, he does the gold buzzer and he hugs them. She's like, he must really like them.
Yeah.
Because it's like, he probably hated that.
Really out of his comfort zone.
Yeah. And he does the weird, like on Deal or No Deal, he does the like swipe of the head. And
yeah.
Also one of the more underrated arcade games at like arcades, the Deal or No Deal one. I loved it.
I love that game.
I could play that on my phone all day.
Oh yeah.
Which is probably terrible.
I had a handheld, you know, like the just very dollar store handheld.
That'd be cool.
I'm going to go Shallow Hell at 4. I'm going to go Howie at 2. Xavier at 3. I'm going to go Gandhi went bald. No, I'm not going to do that.
And now when you say 1, are you saying they went bald first or last?
Okay. First. I'm going to switch that up though.
Okay.
I think I've got it.
I'm going to play some music here. All right. So what's your final order from youngest to oldest?
Professor Xavier at number 1.
Okay.
I'm going to go Howie Mandel at 2.
Okay.
Gandhi at 3. And Shallow Hell at 4.
So you didn't get all of them wrong.
Okay.
So I got one right. At the age of 19, they started to go bald, and by 20, a year later, they were completely bald.
All of them?
Patrick Stewart.
Okay.
Was first. In their early 30s.
So I got that one right.
Yep. In their early 30s, I'm just going description and then
here
we go. In the early 30s, they started to lose the hair, and by mid-30s, they were completely bald. On the top, they have the horseshoe.
Okay.
Jason Alexander, Shallow Hal. So that one
very wrong.
Right before they started their new show, they committed to shaving their wavy, crazy hair for Deal or No Deal.
I forgot about that. Howie Mandel. I do remember seeing pictures
of him. At age 50.
Yeah. Do you remember Bobby's World?
Yeah.
Do you know he did that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, and he was the voice of Bobby.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
I thought that's what he meant by he did that. I'm like, hey,
wasn't he the dad too? Wasn't he the dad and Bobby? Okay.
I love Bobby's World when I was a kid.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, shaved his head at 50.
Really?
Mahatma Gandhi didn't shave his head until he was 60 years old.
Really?
Yeah.
Which is crazy because when you think of Gandhi, I think of a little, but also, little dark, wispy hair.
Only know old Gandhi.
Yeah. I don't think anyone knows young Gandhi.
Like same thing with Patrick Stewart, though.
That's when he got like famous around the world was like old Gandhi.
Interesting. The two celebrities that fascinate me most because of what is or is not on top of their head is Patrick Stewart being bald so early to where he said it was like this huge mental, emotional thing to overcome of like, you're 20 and you're bald.
Yeah.
But he's like, but then once I got through it, he was been rocking it for, I mean, he's.
No, you're famous.
He seems ageless because he's been bald for so long.
Like, yeah.
If you told me Jean-Luc Picard in Star Trek, was older, I'd be like, yeah, sure. Mm-hmm. Who's to say? The other one is Steve Martin being gray so soon, like being gray so early.
Did he ever have dark hair?
Yeah. I don't know how early. This is about bald people, but this is, I just appreciate accepting the hand you're dealt follically. Yeah. All right.
That's interesting. That was a fun one.
So that was a fun one.
This is more, the game wasn't so much that, it was what runaround can we do to figure out if Mike knows pop culture?
I do like that. that was this week's segment called Mike Doing Pop Culture.
Yeah.
Mike trying pop culture.
I can tell you all about trees. That's my thing. Like trees, geology, geography. Like that's my wheelhouse. You ask me about pop culture. I'm like, wasn't she a singer?
I want that to be your automatic response now. Where if someone's like, do you you know pop culture? It's like, I know a ton about trees.
That's me. Yeah.
All right. One other thing that I have bald related that I learned just yesterday, and I'm very excited to share.
Okay.
Have you ever heard of the Norwood or the Hamilton Norwood scale?
I have not heard of it, no.
So this is an outline of the types of baldness.
Okay.
A visual scale.
Does it have to do with the shininess?
It has to do with the pattern.
Okay.
So the measurement scale was first introduced by James Hamilton in the 50s, later revised and updated by Otar Norwood, great name, in the 70s. And so it's sometimes referred to as the Norwood Hamilton or simply the Norwood scale. But I pulled up the photo, and this will definitely be awesome. A photo.
You have your own scale.
I have my own scale for my hair.
I feel so left out. I don't think there's a scale for me.
And that's the downside of me quitting on my hair is this is a 1 through 7, and then they have variations within.
Interesting. So I think, I would say I have a full head of hair, and I've never really looked at the top.
This is only balding. Like if you, this is, if you're better than this, you're not
on the scale. That balding? Like a little recession on the side?
The recession of the widow's peaks.
Okay.
They had some celebrity examples for some of these.
That's very minor. See, I feel like I can relate to 4 right there, Roman numeral 4. Because I've always had a thin spiral up top.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah, that one, they used Jude Law as an example. Poor Jude Law. Yeah, but mine is somewhere.
Where's Keira Knightley fit into it?
That's a choice. Also, it's Natalie Portman. From V for Vendetta. But yeah.
No, the only reason I asked that is because you showed me a picture of her this morning.
I did. The teaser for this had.
Are you sure it's not Keira Knightley?
Yes.
Okay.
I love V for Vendetta.
So do I.
I do know actors and actresses in pop culture.
Okay.
So I'm telling you. I know I'm trying to think if she's ever shaved her head. Because, no, she did that Domino movie, but she had, like, spiked hair.
I like how it took you a second. Like, you went with it.
It's one of those where, like, I go in with confidence, and then I go, was that right?
Yeah.
Are we sure?
That's funny.
That was, like, the other the other day on the episode, our National Hot Sauce Day episode, I was like really confident. And then I was hesitant about Stanky Sauce having one of their sauces where they had to change the recipe because when they grew the sauce to a larger batch, something wasn't right. Mm-hmm. They messaged us and they're like, you are correct. When they first went to co-packing it for their sauce, the turmeric was off.
Okay.
So they had to adjust that.
Yeah.
So I was like, I was right. Should have gone in more confident.
Go back to that scale a second.
So many people that are gifted with the ability to show off their
Have you not maintained your head, where would you fall?
I mean, my dad is down in this corner, the 5A.
Okay.
They have different variations off the numbers, but it would be a full horseshoe. Okay. Like you can see like stubble on the sides.
I see the border.
But it gets thin here. And also the thing that is crazy, when you start showing that you're losing hair, you've already lost over 50%.
Really?
Of your hair. The hair follicle's density is so insane that like you could lose up to 50% of your hair and you wouldn't show it yet.
Really?
Because of the density of
it. I did not know that.
And the other thing is everyone loses hair. Mm-hmm. It's just, does it come back as strong?
Sure.
And mine is a no on that.
I didn't do any research on this, but I've heard that redheads have some of the densest hair out of any hair color.
It could be.
I know the otters. So here's my pop culture.
They have really dense. They have the most dense.
40,000 hair follicles per square inch on an otter. That is dense.
Hold on.
That's what I do in my spare time. I read scientific journals on the hair densities of otters.
You care more about the density of a hair, otter hair than your own co-host. All right. So human hair, 800 to 1200 or 1290 hairs per square inch. So yeah, otter, 4,000.
40,000.
40,000. Jeez.
Yeah. That's why they can hang out in an so icy nice river and break a sweat.
Well, yeah. Cause also doesn't like, because it's so dense, like different like air bubbles get trapped underneath it. So like,
yeah, that's why when they swim, they have that bubble trail underwater.
Yeah.
So they literally are just surrounded by a pocket of warm air when they're underwater.
When I saw this brand and I was researching, I didn't think we'd go otter. I didn't think.
Why this is the greatest podcast on the internet.
The teaser for this episode is going to have to be an otter. I did the mongoose or the mongoose teaser for National Hot Sauce Day.
Mongooses.
I used to know a lot about mongoose. That used to be my nickname when I played sports.
Because you're all shifty and stuff?
No, because I...
You just bit everything in sight.
Just one night drinking while playing, I demanded they call me that, and that just stuck. I've got a Yeti cup that says it. Yeah.
I'm just picturing you just like teleporting across the field during a sports out. Sporting event.
There are times where I have a clear vision of how these episodes are going to go. And it's part of why I like not outlining as much. I have a clear path. And then I suddenly just wake up and I'm in the, I don't know if you've ever played Oblivion, the video game, but one of them, I think it's Skyrim. One of them, you just wake up on a wagon. And they're like, oh, good, hello, like had a long nap or whatever. Where I'm like, I'm on a right path and then flash of light and then I'm there. And I'm like, oh no, what happened?
That's hilarious.
All right, let's get into the score on this because this is for all we talked about, the sauce brand and otters and Howie Mandel. This sauce is really good. Mm-hmm. This is one that, like we said, barbecue is the thing that we kind of keep sticking to. I would roast sweet potatoes with this. I think that would be really good.
For these tiny spoons and a little pour spout on here, we've done some damage on this bottle.
Yeah, they've really made us work. I'm glad it wasn't arm day today because I wouldn't have been able to force the sauce out as much. We could have just pulled the cap off, but that would have been a risky maneuver. So for this one, again, 100-point scale, 75 and above is something we'd have in our kitchen regularly. 50 to 75 is still recommend to buy. 25 to 50 is not something that we, say you have to go seek out, but it's still a good sauce. And then 25 and below is not for us, maybe for you. What did you have for this sauce?
75.
I had an 81.
Pretty close.
Mm-hmm.
Good sauce.
I like, there's a few smoky sauces that I enjoy more, but not many.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something where the smokiness, the right balance of heat, where it's not pushing my boundary or my tolerance. It's not leaving me wanting a little bit more heat. Mm-hmm. It's right in the middle.
Yeah.
This is something I could mix into, you know, some type of, if I was wanting to do like a smoky mayo, like for a sandwich.
Yeah.
Throw this on a BLT.
Yeah.
That would be really good. We talked about grilled meats. We talked about, you know, roasted vegetables. It just has a lot of potential, I should say.
Yeah. No, I like that. That's good. I like as much as I love Chipotle, I enjoy like the smokiness and not the Chipotle taste sometimes, because Chipotle has a very distinct mm-hmm. taste to it.
Well, one of the things that I was doing a lot for my lunches is I was doing like rice bowls, and mm-hmm. I would have like, you know, chicken or meat. I have the rice, I have pico, all that stuff. And I was doing sweet summer heat from Faya for like that lime citrusy element. And I was doing the ghost smoky Chipotle mm-hmm. from Family Band. I just ran out of Family Band. They did say, hey, just hit us up and we'll get you more. And I'm like, it's great. But this is something that gives it that smoke, gives it that flavor.
Right.
That I think this is a little bit less heat for it. I get why this is one of the most popular, because it is one.
It's friendly across the board.
Mm-hmm. It's not mild. It's just friendly. I like that. It's not mild. It's just friendly. I'm trying to see if they have any other food recommendations on theirs. They do warn that it'll be your newest obsession. I get that. Somebody said they put on everything from popcorn to macaroni and cheese. Mac and cheese would be good with this.
Popcorn would be good.
Nice smoky.
I
would do like a white mac and cheese for this. You're like a nice white cheddar. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I blew my tooth out on a piece of popcorn last Friday. So it was like midnight. Courtney's like, I could really use some popcorn right now. I'm like, are you sure? She's like, please, can we have popcorn? I'm like, all right. So I made it. And I'm one of those people where it's like, I eat it because it's there. Mm-hmm. I didn't want it, but I was just eating popcorn.
Popcorn is one of those. There's a few snacks with me where popcorn is one of them of, I don't need this. But it's here.
Yeah. And I don't feel guilty about eating a lot of popcorn. There's no way there's a lot of calories in it. But, you know.
You don't know.
Probably just lied there. Yeah. But no, I'm sitting there eating that. And, you know, like the little shell on the kernel mm-hmm. that comes off. I'm like, had one of those kind of, you know, in the corner of my mouth. I pull it out and I kind of chewed on it with my front tooth a little bit. It just like snap. And it just like sheared the backside of my tooth off. So I went and got that repaired yesterday. So.
Yeah, that's not.
It didn't hurt at all. I was just like, man, was that sand? Like, what was that? And then I fell down. I'm like, oh my gosh.
My dad gets that a lot, where he'll have just like random pieces of tooth come out. And I'm like, I feel like that's a problem.
But did we talk about this already on the last episode?
No, we just talked about this a lot at the office.
Okay.
I was wondering the same thing. No, I was just looking at the different food elements that they post on here. They've got a lot of recipes for a lot of different.
Ooh, breakfast burrito.
Yeah, breakfast
burrito. Quesadilla.
Breakfast burrito quesadilla would be
a fantastic option. Why have I never thought of that? Like a breakfast quesadilla.
Again, I would either just put this just straight up on the burrito when it's done, or if I'm building it, do a heavy pour of this in with some sour cream to make it like a smoky, spicy sour cream. I did put the one drop in a sour cream the other day, and all the casein protein in that sour cream couldn't fight off. The capsaicin. No. You couldn't do it. I'm like, oh, this will neutralize a little bit. No. It laughed.
Did you get that video I sent you of the reporter that pops, though? At the time, the world's hottest pepper in his mouth.
Yeah, the Buchalochia pepper.
Like, I can't taste this milk.
I couldn't believe it was a... It's like, this is the Buchalochia pepper, the hottest pepper in the world. And even, I think he even said it before the guy bit it, but as he was grabbing it.
Yeah.
And just goes, huh. And just pops crunches it. Pops in his mouth
like a piece of popcorn.
Yeah. Breaks it off like it's a piece of beef jerky. And then he's chewing it and going, oh, okay. Oh, wow.
Like, I immediately regret that. And he's like, how long does this last? He's like, sometimes 6 hours. He's like,
that seemed a little much.
It does.
But I guess, I mean, if you're eating the raw pepper.
I mean, I've seen my mother-in-law out of commission because of honey barbecue. So
the effect it has on your stomach.
Yeah.
I was thinking he was asking like the heat. In the mouth, in the throat, like how long that lasts. But I guess the big thing is he's got to just chew it really well so it doesn't have big chunks in his stomach, because that's the thing they say.
I mean, I had side effects from that one chip challenge for at least, I want to say, 6 hours.
That's why we review sauces and not chips.
Yeah.
Yeah, the only thing with that video, I wish it was higher resolution to see the progression of, I'm doing an interview. Wow, that's a little hot. Oh, God. Oh, God. We're all going to die.
It definitely looks like it's from, like, 2002. It looks like it belongs on ESPN Classic.
It's crazy, and I'm sure everyone in every generation has this, where I have a vivid picture of what my video games in the mid-2000s were, playing NBA, NFL, all that, and how amazed I was at the graphic advancement from the 90s to then.
Yeah.
And then I go back and I play them, and I'm like, this is a step above Pong.
Yes. Halo 1. Go back and play Halo 1. When that first came out, everyone's like, the future is now.
Yeah.
You go back and you play it, and you're like, is this like an unfinished version of the game?
When they did the Anniversary Edition, which even the Anniversary Edition now is not as advanced as it could be, but they have a toggle button that switches between the original and the new enhanced graphics.
Do they really?
And when you do that, I just am doing that the whole time. That's awesome. Like, I forgot to shoot that guy because I'm toggling between. It's like, wow. That was probably over a decade ago that they redid the graphics. It's really? Probably like late or early 2010, because they then redid the second one, and then they might have redid the third one, but I got to play the new Halo.
That was my favorite. I loved Halo.
Yeah, I don't play a lot of video games. Madden, NBA 2K, Halo. Those are my three.
So, anyways, hot sauce, baldness, otters, Halo.
We covered it all. I think we got a good coverage today of everything that really needed to be talked about.
I also find it kind of ironic. You're saying we've got a good coverage today, and most of the episode's been about baldness.
I will say this, that God, I'm not going to get too religious here, but God created some beautiful, perfect heads, and the rest they covered with hair.
Absolutely.
So that's all I'm going to say. That's a joke I stole from a friend of mine.
It's like God created bass for guys that couldn't catch walleye.
That's a good one. Yeah. I didn't even hear.
I like that one. I was a bass fisherman until I figured walleye out. Now I'll never go back.
I love walleye fishing. All right. So, again, I don't know.
This is a fun one.
It's an early one. It's a fun one. It's going to be an editing adventure. I want to do a couple of special thanks. As always, want a special thanks to Summit 6 Design, who designed our logo. For any graphic or logo designs, reach out to them. They're more than helpful in figuring out what your message or what you want it to be if you're not sure. And then also, I want to do a special thank you to my family for giving me baldness. You don't always get that. Usually it's a...
I'm going to thank your
why
family.
Why did you?
Yeah.
And also, I don't know who to thank because allegedly, the myth is it comes from your mother's father.
Mm-hmm.
Who he had a full head of hair.
Really?
So I am going to thank the genetic manipulation that happened to make my dad, my grandpa, me, and I think my grandpa's dad, all bald.
Okay.
So I'm going to thank them for that because we just recorded 2 days ago, so there's not a lot that's happened between the last 2 days. Thank you, though, everyone that's continuing to follow us on Instagram. We kept looking at 600 as this goal of, like, we got to get there. We're only, like, 6 away. We're only 8 away. Got to get there. And then we're already... 10 plus past.
We're 613 right now.
So I'm like, okay. Like, apparently that was just a plateau that we had to get over. So thank you everyone that's following us on Instagram. It is definitely our primary social media to have fun and interact with people and share. And so thank you again for listening. However you do listen, we do appreciate you. Thank you, Jeremy and Casey, for being a part of this raffle to let us get to try their sauce. I feel like had I seen their logo or their brand somewhere, I would have been drawn to get their sauce anyway. I don't know what it is. If it's biological, genetic, whatever it might be. My head just leaning in, a magnet. Thank you for participating in that and helping out Stanky Sauce with their raffle for Hurricane Relief. And then if you want to follow us on Instagram, like I said, that's where we do most of our stuff. The Heat Source Podcast for all our updates. Send us a message on there or email us at theheatsourcepodcast@gmail.com for any feedback, requests, or any other comments. That's the episode. Everyone have a fun Super Bowl. We're going to try to post what we're going to make. You share, tag us in anything that you guys are making. We'd be excited to see it. I'm always going to be hungry because I'm trying to eat healthier. So while I will be eating some good chicken wings, I don't know how much extra I'll be partaking in on
that's
there.
That's like a holiday. You got to go for it. Well, but do the buffalo chicken dip with the celery sticks. and you're just, you know, it's that much healthier.
I'm doing a lot of wings. Yeah. There's going to be a spread of wings. So I'm going to do that. We'll see what we have for Super Bowl to do. And then stay tuned next week when we have an unknown yet sauce. We haven't decided yet. Got some big choices.
That's a huge cliffhanger. We don't even know what it is yet.
Yeah. The best cliffhanger is the one no one knows. All right. Thanks, guys.
See ya.
That just made me think of the joke, the bear joke. I told you the bear joke, how to catch a bear.
Mm.
You dig a hole, you fill it with ashes. It can be like wood, it can be whatever, you know, it doesn't really matter. Just naturally,
okay.
Just put ashes in the bottom of the hole. Surround it with frozen peas around the hole. So that way, and because they eat those. They enjoy them. So when the bear goes to pee, you kick him in the ash hole. All right.
God, I love it.
All right, getting back to this.